It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that today turns exactly 11 years old.
Today.
That is not a big mile. We can't do the bit where like our podcast is old enough to drive or our podcast is old enough. Like 11 doesn't mean shit.
Not really.
But there it is. And it's also magical because it's literally the same day. It's not like this week we turn 11. Today.
We didn't even plan to start the podcast on St. Patrick's Day or, you know, like,
no,
just happened, just worked out.
I was telling my sister today and she's like, you started the podcast on St. Patrick's Day? And I was like, yeah, it was Thursday and neither of us really gave a shit about St. Patrick's Day. So it was just a day. So there you go.
But if anyone back then would have said it's going to be St. Patrick's Day on Thursday, I mean, I think it has happened a couple times since, but
has it? Okay.
Oh, I think so. It's going to be St. Patrick's Day again. 11, you know, when you've done this for 11 years, we probably would have looked at each other and said, we're not going to still be doing this in 11 years.
I would have, because I'd say it took me 5 to 7 years to really convince myself that it was never going to become big.
Okay.
And so if you told me like 11 years, I'd be like, yeah, we'll be huge then. Like that'll be our guest on that episode will be Tom Hanks or some shit. So yeah, I would have bought it. But yeah, if people had told me you will peak listeners in the very first episode and then keep going for 11 years, I might have been more skeptical of that.
I didn't think you'd hang in for 11 years. I mean, I can do anything for 11 years, but I didn't think you'd be able to do it.
I think part of it is that 5 to 7 years took me to really sink in. Nothing's going to happen. This is not your golden ticket to stardom. And then it was a year or two after that to really sink in for me, like 6 people listen, but it really kind of matters to them. Sure. And it kind of gives them something.
It matters to us.
And I wouldn't go that far. But at a certain point, I am in a position now where I feel like at least on some sort of psychological level, it would take more effort to stop than to just keep going. Like that feels harder to do. So I'm taking the easier path and just whatevs. Here we are.
Yeah.
And I remember 11 years ago today, we started recording. And I said, fuck, 3 times in a row, right out the gate. Because I had something to prove. I'd say because I was a young hothead, but I was 35. So I don't know. Well, what it was I had recently been very involved in studying up on why the King's Speech and its rating situation. Because apparently the King's Speech was going to be rated R. But Harvey Weinstein, not yet publicly disgraced Harvey Weinstein, only covertly disgraced public Harvey Weinstein, negotiated and got an edit that apparently two fucks was enough for a PG-13, but three fucks was an R. And so I decided to show everybody that we were definitely going to be an R-rated podcast. I thought this was very clever at the time. I'm pretty sure it was at least partially responsible for the precipitous drop-off in our listenership by episode two. Not even because they were offended, but they were like, with this opening, yeah, they can't be. If that's what you lead with, which turned out to be true. I mean, come on.
I mean, you know, for me, it's always just been, you know, I know you. I mean, you've never really done anything on the podcast that surprised me, or I thought, well, that doesn't seem like a thing Tony would do.
No. Nope.
So just it was what it was. Is what it is. Yeah.
And you didn't even want, I just asked you to do, I was like, hey, you want to do podcasts? And you were like, sure. Which weirdly, all the most important people in my life, when I ask the most significant questions, that's how they answer. Which, I mean, I guess is better than no, but it's never super enthusiastic. So,
well, I mean, here's the thing. And I've always said this because it's what's true now. It's just like it's been for 11 years. I could imagine you doing a podcast and it being awesome. I couldn't really imagine me being in a podcast and it being awesome. I mean, maybe not like terrible.
It turned out both of us can be in a podcast and it definitely won't be awesome.
But I don't know.
Well, and I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what it was going to be, because I discovered podcasts well after everybody else. So I was like, I know what we'll do. We'll watch a crappy movie and we'll talk about it. That'll be original. And then I did a little, just a teeny bit of research, and was like, oh, there are already 8,000 podcasts out there that do that. And as I go, and then I was like, what's something original? And I said, I know, a hat with its own email address.
I mean, and I've people never
can write in whatever they want and we'll take it out of there. And that way we will talk about what the people want to hear about while simultaneously talking about whatever the fuck we want to talk about. And that'll be genius.
It was, I mean, I don't know of anyone else who did it quite like that. I mean,
no, we have, if you type in the magical talking hat, we have great SEO. If you type in magical and talking and hat like separately, JK Rowling gets in the way.
But we really did for many, many years pull note cards, you know, randomly out of a hat and read them and, you know, talked about that. We did that and nobody else was doing that. I mean, maybe some people were taking emails. Maybe someone else was answering questions or whatever.
Fucking everybody was doing emails and answering questions.
But it was unique to draw them randomly. First of all, that. I mean, most people are just answering their emails.
And like, not other places either do them in order or like, think about it before they're like, oh, do we want this? Oh, this is a good one. We were like, no, you wrote it. We're going to do it.
Right. Maybe they edit. We didn't do that.
I mean, other than for space, but otherwise, no. Yeah. And it was, I mean, and it proved it's a terrible system. It's a bad idea, but we stuck to it. A combination of integrity and laziness.
It was fun.
Guess which
of
us had which.
It was fun to do it like that, though, because
it was.
I mean, you know, it also created a format that was, you know, brief or made brief, depending on how you look at it. I don't know. I thought it worked pretty well. And I think the listeners thought it was interesting and unique. And it was that. I mean, I guess it didn't catch on to a whole bunch of people, but, you know, when it comes to this kind of thing, we've talked about this a lot of times. I mean, a lot of times it's not really about the quality of the thing. It's when you're looking for an audience, because there's an audience for just about everything. I mean, come on, you see things all the time that you look at it and you think, how could anybody like that? And there's a million views or whatever. There's an audience for everything. It's really just a matter of, you almost have to prospect, right? And then hit the mother load of all those people
yeah.
who are going to be interested in your thing. And we, if aside from the fact people can say, and you and I can say whatever you want about the quality of the thing, there's, it's not like we ever had any big marketing push or
no. Like quality, that. Quality comes a different distant force to hard work, marketing and luck. And we had none of those and continue to have none of those.
Well, longevity sometimes stands in for hard work. I mean, 11 years, that's not too shabby.
Yeah, but it hasn't earned us anything. Except, again, the continued love of the small group that hasn't gone away, who we do dearly love.
We were in the newspaper.
That is true. And that shows how sad it is, because that did nothing for us.
That was for our 100th episode. You know, and we've had 400 since then. So,
and then some. Speaking of which, I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 574.
That might be the longest intro slot ever there. Maybe not. I think we might have had one where like we went through like half the episode before we remembered.
Yeah, we've taken a long time before.
But I mean, and I'm not going to explain the podcast because I feel like we just explained it.
We just kind of did.
Right in there. So there it is. We do need more emails from people. I believe we are down to two.
That looks like two, yeah.
It is possible one of them does not have a lot of meat on its bones. put it that way. So write in themagicdrawinghat@gmail.com. Whatever you want. You're the boss. Write it. Do it. Whatever you want to make us read on the air. It can be used for all sorts of terrible, nefarious purposes. If you want to use our podcast to make us deliver the trigger word that awakens the sleeper cells for the revolution, I mean, go for it. It would be the best publicity we had in a long time. So do it. I like to be all too cool for podcast, but this is and has been a very big part of my life and continues to be a big part of my life, and I like it. And I'm going to keep doing it. So strap in, people, for another 11 years.
I like it,
too. I no longer think that I am not skeptical at that idea. I'm not saying for certain it'll be another 11 years, but it would not surprise me one whit to learn that happened.
Yeah, I'd be all right.
So how's your week been? So how's your 11 years been? No, let's focus on this.
Let's focus on this week. I'm trying to think.
Spring is springing.
Yeah.
Outside. I mean,
this is the last week of school for this quarter.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that's been taking up most of my just finishing up, you know. Because the last day of the quarter is tomorrow. So, and I don't like to hand things in like on time. I like to be early. So
we know. Yeah.
Yeah. All that stuff is done. So we'll see how I get graded. Now, next quarter, as you know, as I've said, I'm going to be going to Phoenix for a week. I don't know how to feel about that because.
Because it's Phoenix.
That's part of it. There's an old coworker that lives down there who I might see. That'll be cool.
There's a former listener who has basically wintered there. They don't live there, but they've been staying with somebody for a few months down there. Member of my gaming group, actually.
Because what's going to happen is I'm going to a lot of people that I've only interacted with online, I'm going to meet in person, a lot of them.
Wow.
That's part of what's going to happen there.
Have they seen, like, do you do video stuff or is it just?
I mean, a little bit we've done. Yeah.
So they know how ugly you
is. Yeah. Some people already know right. that.
I thought that was your big concern.
No, that's never my concern. But yes, some people have, like, we do video things. So some people have seen me in those, and very few people have talked to me actually through a, like, a Zoom meeting or whatever. Not a very many, but a few. And so that's not what concerns me. It's one thing to do a video or to talk to someone on Zoom. It's another thing to like maybe be in the same class with someone for several days. And of course,
the whole class you've been with are all going to be in Phoenix that week.
I don't know for sure. I mean, a lot of them. Yeah. I mean, just about everybody I've talked to so far is saying they're going to be there, and not all of those people are in the sections that I'm in now. Mm. So, I mean, so there's obviously a cohort that I belong to of, I don't know how many people, 200, 500. I have no idea. And I don't know if they're all going to be there or half of them are going to be there or what. I don't know how it works. But like one person I know, I don't know if I said this on the podcast. So
I'm
like
have
I said,
to hold this the whole episode because I just dropped the cap over the side thing.
Even though I'm in a cohort, I'm not in this class with everybody at once. Everyone's in different sections. But I might,
okay,
like let's say I'm in a class in the first quarter of the year with someone, then in the next two quarters, I won't see them. But in the quarter after that, I'll see them again, right? Because you're going to run into the same people every so yep. often.
Yeah.
Well, there's one person, I think only one person who I was in a class with in the very first quarter that I've been in class with every single quarter since.
Are they going to be in Phoenix?
Yeah, we've become good friends. We all talk right. all
I
the time.
I was going to say that one could be trouble because they could be sick of your shit.
No, we've become friends. We're and I actually look forward to meeting her. But and there are a few other people that have not been in every section with me, but have been in several of the same ones, and we've talked mm-hmm. several times. And I look forward to meeting them too if they're there. But I don't. Now that I think about it, why don't I just ask them? Why don't I just ask some of these people, hey, are you going to be? Why don't I do that? That's so stupid.
Also, as we're breaking down the things, so what specifically is it that you're worried about?
Oh, just making a bad impression myself, personally. Annoying people. Whoever. I mean, you know me. I'm likely to piss somebody off while I'm there, and I don't want to, but it's likely to happen. And also I'm going to meet professors probably there, which that's fine, but I don't want to piss any of them off either, but I probably will because that's what I do. So
it's really not. I love that you think this, but you have pissed off so few people in your lifetime. Like, you have a separate definition again.
Okay.
People have reacted in such a way that if you saw them reacting that way to someone else, you'd be like, oh, it's fine. But because they're reacting to you that way, they're pissed off.
I mean, maybe. I can't discount what you're saying.
Well, and here's what I can say to that, because I'm not with you all the time, and you are a terrible person. Just the worst. But what I can say is in all the time I have been around you, which has involved a lot of other people.
That's true.
I have never witnessed you piss someone off.
Huh.
What I would call pissing someone off. I may have once heard of a person being pissed off about you. I was not present. Maybe.
You weren't present.
No, I wasn't present during the interchange that might have resulted. This is what.
Oh, I'm okay. Saying. Okay.
I was present when I heard about things. I have a dead drop where people leave anonymous messages about what they think about you.
All right. Well, see, this is what I'm saying.
No,
you did.
There's no context. I just get pieces of paper come out and says, fine. I'm All right, great.
Okay, well, you at least heard once of me doing so. So, yeah.
Yes. I mean, yes, sorry. I did not wish to make the bold claim that you are incapable of pissing someone off.
Well, maybe like, it's like
I don't think you've ever pissed me off, but I have always known from the moment I met you that you are more than capable
of being. Maybe it's like mice. If you heard of one, there's 100 others that you haven't heard of.
I'm just saying, far and away, your percentage of pissing people off is way less than other people, and functionally zero compared to me.
Okay. Okay, well,
I also will say on a more serious note, I have a tremendous amount of experience, some would say a disconcerting amount of experience, with getting to know people online and then meeting them in person. And I will say, in the short term, which is what you're dealing with here,
yeah,
it is almost always fine. It's really good, but very, very rarely is it like, oh, that kind of stuff. The worst it usually is like, huh, I guess we sort of get better along in person online. Because I've said many times how well you get along with somebody online and how well you get along with them in person, unrelated to each other. But in a short term, there's usually just more of a excitement to finally meet face to face and stuff like that. And, you know, you just chat about things. You don't have enough time to run out of stuff to talk about. Yeah, I go, great.
Okay.
Also, I'm assuming it's not a weird military barrack style sleeping arrangement. So worst case scenario, you can probably just hang out in your hotel room.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing about it is, you know, given the subject matter, you have, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to talk about controversial things. Again, that's fine. I don't have a problem talking about controversial things, but I'm not worried about me having a problem talking about controversial things. I'm worried about other people having a problem talking about controversial things. And that's usually when I get in trouble, because I have opinions, as you know. And I believe in stating them in the strongest possible terms, because otherwise, how are we going to have a good debate about it? How am I going to be convinced that I'm wrong if I am wrong, if I don't state it in the strongest possible terms and you argue against it in the strongest possible terms? So I can go, oh gosh, I guess that's right. Because otherwise later I'd go, you know what? I lost that argument, but I also didn't put forth the best argument. So I don't know if I really lost. So, you know, I go into situations with my own opinions and I state them frankly and openly. That's what I hope other people will do. But sometimes that makes people very unhappy. I mean, you know, they take it.
Now that you say that, you may be more annoying than I give you credit for. I mean,
you all the time, it seems like. So,
well, no, but your own answer is built into what you're saying. You're like, so I have this thing I do, and it causes problems sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe take a minute and see how the situation is before doing that thing. You're not required to do that.
No, I know that. And so, you know, my coping mechanism is usually, you know, to wait, see what other people say. Also, I try to be very diplomatic when I talk, yeah. but what I'm saying is, even though I know, I mean, I'm 53 years old, I've learned some things, I know how to do these things, it doesn't always.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But especially in this kind of thing, where there is the potential of a lot of controversial subjects, you could also lead with that, what you just told me. There's so many times where I think the best answer for how you should behave around other people is to just literally tell them what you tell me.
Oh, I know.
Like,
yeah.
You could go in and say like, okay, this is a controversial topic. Are we going to like, are we doing this? Are we not right. doing this? I don't want to be weird. If they say yes, then it's all good.
No, it isn't. They might say yes.
I'll put it this way. If they say yes and it turns out it wasn't yes, that's their fucking problem.
Well, I know. And that's really what I need to learn to do, is to, you know, not so much take it on myself. Right. Yep. I mean, when and it is my fault,
the odds are in your favor, since all of these people are studying to be therapists.
Well, that's true. You're right about that.
Actually. And in fact, so, if somebody doesn't, you should maybe get the other students together and be like, should we have an intervention? And be like, you should not be a therapist. This is a terrible funny. Idea.
So one of the last assignments we had was to read this article about students who are, you know, like in psychology or counseling or whatever it is, they're studying to be therapists, whatever it is. And, but they exhibit tendencies that look like they're not going to be very good therapists. And it, so the article is talking about these types of people, what they're like. And it was also talking about how usually the people who are most bothered by these students and who complain most about them are fellow students, right? Because these people are taking up all kinds of resources and time. And a lot of the times their fellow students wish that the instructors or supervisors or whatever would do something about this person, including like send them home if that's what has to happen. And, but so just the end of the quarter, right before we go meet everybody in Phoenix, we're going to read this article about, you know, students behaving badly, basically. And so you're thinking, what's the...
yeah, this intervention time, right then, right then.
What are you doing? Why are you communicating this to us now? Are we supposed to look into ourselves and see...
Save somebody some fucking airfare. Like that at the end of that, say, okay, we've read this article. Does anyone have anything they'd like to say to anyone here? Possibly.
Oh man. So like everybody's responding to this article in the forum thinking, am I supposed to get a hint?
In a weird situation we've never had before. The entire university is getting together saying this cohort is going down the wrong career path. Yeah,
should do something else.
We tried to tip you off with the article, but you're not getting it. All of even me. Yes, even you, Derek. Especially you. But none of you are immune.
Well, of course, some people took it sort of to be prepared. You might meet some of your fellow learners and find out they're not what they're all cracked up to be.
Well, and I can tell you firsthand, there are some licensed, long-running therapists out there that suck shit.
Right? So...
And I think more often, there are some licensed, long-running therapists out there that really are only good in certain circumstances. And sure. So they're probably really good with this kind of patient, but you can't screen for that up front, so you're really fucking over a lot of other people.
Right. Well, and the article talked about how, you know, there are so many people, therapists who are also supervisors and instructors, who come from a tradition of therapy where, you know, you're empathetic, you understand unconditional positive regard and all that. Yeah. And so it's hard for them when they meet someone who's having problems, you know, to get to that point where they're saying maybe you should do something else because that feels judgy or something. I
mean, yeah.
But it's also not helpful to let a person continue on a path that's clearly not going to lead where they think it's going to lead. I mean, that's...
Yeah, and this is a weird situation for that, because it's harder to specifically test for that. Like, if you're doing a degree in math, you don't have to come to the person and be like, we've decided you're bad at math. It will become evident when you fucking flunk all the tests.
Right. That's right.
Whereas this one, it's like, you've clearly read this stuff, but we've decided that your soul is terrible at being a therapist. But we don't have a test for that, so we just have to tell you. You have a bad soul. And unfortunately, this is like the one career path where that's not okay. You could have any of the rest of these, fine. Yeah, does not take your soul into consideration. You want to be a chemist? President. Worst soul ever. Still can be a brilliant chemist. But this specific one, your soul is getting in the way.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
We need a test for that.
How about your week? How's it been?
Oh, fascinating.
Really?
Actually, mostly really boring, but two interesting things. Okay, one,
do tell.
My mother is officially in the world of texting now.
Oh, she wasn't before?
No, and didn't plan to. And then eventually sort of figured out that that's how most of the other people communicate. She's like, I want to get it. And so she did it. And it's really funny so far. She hates it so far, as would be expected. Most people, I find, when they first adopt something like this, they kind of, my sister wasn't a big fan of it. And then she slowly learned. But my mom, yeah, she doesn't like it. But she started immediately with emojis, which I find surprising. Most people don't sort of figure that out yet. But I'm still confused because I sent her a story about some weird shit that happened the other night where there were a lot of very scary noises outside that shook the house. Oh. And Trish was in the bathtub and she texted me. She's like, what is that? I'm like, I don't know, Godzilla? Because it was like, but didn't know what it was. But eventually I was like, I should go outside and look. And then I was like, what is possibly the benefit of that? So I didn't do it because it was like late at night. But it eventually stopped. And then I'm heading to bed and I go to rinse something out in the sink and the water's not working. Oh. And I'm like, what the crap? And I go to tell Trish the water's not working. And out on the other side of the house, outside, there's trucks with flashing lights and people doing something.
Mm.
And then by like 1 a.m, I woke up because I had to go to the bathroom and the trucks were gone and the water was working again. So it's fine. But anyway, I text my mom this story and my mom responds with the word yikes. And that's it. So that's not weird. This is like her third text ever. So that's fine. But she sent an emoji with it that was a purple crab. Like,
oh, no.
I didn't even know it. I had not seen this emoji before.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a purple crab.
It. And I'm like, what is, I mean, I was fascinated. It wasn't necessarily inappropriate. It was kind of purple crab, all things considered. But yeah, so mom's in that. So I'm sending her pictures and stuff. And I talk. So that was fun. And the other thing is, I'm still playing a lot of Final Fantasy. And all that. I'm still sleeping like shit. We watched a movie last night.
Okay.
We watched The Green Knight.
Oh, you did? Oh, I meant to watch that. Is it any good?
I mean, we got a lot of time to kill in this podcast, so I don't just want to jump in there. I want to tease it out a little bit.
Okay.
So for those of you not familiar, although I think it got some Oscar nominations and shit. So
it did?
I believe so. For visual effects, I think mostly.
Huh.
It is a movie starring Dev Patel. And it is essentially a retelling of the medieval poem / story of Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. It also, I mean, and it's been very well received and very popular and critics love it. And it's kind of found some mainstream success a little bit for being a very art house film. It also was written and directed by the dude who did A Ghost Story.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I was trepidatious.
Sure. I mean, there might have been a really long scene of people eating pie. You don't know.
and we should be fair. I hate A Ghost Story for a lot more reasons than just the pie eating, but I do hate the pie. But like, I hated that movie. And most people who saw it loved it, including people way smarter than me, loved it.
Huh.
Oh, you did you also hate it?
Hate might be a strong word, but it usually is for me. So
yeah. But I dislike very much did not like it.
No, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
No, I mean, I was hopping mad by the end because it's so bad, except for the one song I got out of it that I do love that song. I still listen to that song, but no, the movie itself, terrible. and so I was nervous, but this was a little broader mainstream and this seemed to have more like plot, you know, cause it's based on an existing story and all this. And it looked very visually cool, and so we're like, we should probably see it, and it was very well received.
Did you have any feelings about that story beforehand? I mean,
I didn't know it in its true form. I'm familiar with the concept of the Green Knight, and the trailer sort of hinted at things, but I didn't really know the story. Okay. I also wasn't sure, because to my mind, there is no such thing as like a canonical Arthurian story, because for every version, there's a whole bunch of versions of that version. So I was like, whatever, you know. So we decided we'd check it out. And you, if you have Showtime, you can watch it for free. Otherwise, you have to rent it for 99 cents on Amazon.
Mm.
I think it's that cheap because they want to incentivize you, because you also could just do a free trial of Showtime for 7 days and watch it for free. But we spent the 99 cents. It's 2 hours and 5 minutes, which I knew it was long. I mean, there's two versions I can give you of my review of this movie.
Two versions?
I've come up with two different reviews.
Okay, of
the same opinion, but just how I choose to express it.
Oh, sure.
One of them will be, I would estimate, a 45-minute, I'm going to say, rant.
Oh.
And the other is just this. I didn't get it.
Mm.
I also feel like this is solidified for me that without just tremendous incentive of some kind, probably in the form of cash money, I will never see a movie by this filmmaker again. Absolutely refuse.
Cash money.
I have never been so confused by so much nothing happening.
Mm.
Nothing happened in this movie, and it was very confusing. The only defense for this movie I can give is after I was so annoyed. I haven't even gone to Wikipedia yet to see if they can explain it to me a little bit. But the one defense I have in this movie is that Trish went immediately afterwards to look up the original story of Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. And that story is shit.
Well,
it is a bad story.
Some people like it.
The moral of which appears to be honesty is incredibly important, but as long as you're mostly honest, the times you aren't are fine.
Well, I guess that is one way to think of it. Sure.
Bad story. So, but not in its defense, the movie did not tell that story. I mean, that the movie definitely used bits of it, but that's how I read the plot of that story going, and how this one, it took the sections, but it was doing its own shit. And it was so confusing. If you told me this movie was a metaphor for the making of a ghost story, I would be forced to believe you, because how the hell would I know? There is essentially only one character in this movie. It is Gawain, played by Dev Patel. He's a shithead. He is both a horrible person and an idiot. There are a whole bunch of other actors in this movie playing parts. None of them are what I would call characters.
Mm.
Most of the film is things happening at Gawain. He makes very few decisions. Almost all of them are terrible, and the few that aren't terrible are either very obviously the decision you would have to make or sort of out of fucking nowhere. As with a ghost story, I feel the soundtrack was designed to attack me. Not even necessarily in the content, but in its placement and its pacing and the volume changes and shit, like frequently making me cringe. Some of the visuals are very cool. Some of the visuals are absolute dog crap. None of it makes sense. Some of it appears to have been a dream, but I can't tell you for sure which parts. There is ejaculate in this movie. I'm just putting that out there. there's a Dracula in this movie, in a part of this movie that is arguably from the story, but decided to add a Dracula into it. It's not. Oh, this movie also, insofar as you could make the argument that women exist in this movie, which I think is tricky, but there are technically several actors in this movie who appear to be presenting as female in their roles, not as characters. Insofar as you can make that argument, this movie fucking hates women.
Mm.
This is, every woman in this movie is awful or is perfectly fine and has terrible, awful things happen to them, or both. Yeah, that was literally the first words out of Trish's mouth when the credits went. She's like, this movie hated women. And I was like, I don't agree, because I don't think you can convince me there were women in this movie or anyone but Dev Patel.
So you're saying that the film could have benefited greatly from a pie eating scene that would have helped it.
There are some things in here that I think might have been pie eating scenes. There was one point where a shot that was doing nothing lasted long enough that I was like, I actually said out loud, and then Gawain pulls out a pie.
Just off camera, someone was eating pie, maybe just off camera.
The movie had a few jokes. I think there were a couple of things that I was like, that's kind of a funny line, but that implies that the other things were meant to be earnest, and I'm not willing to make the call on that either. There was a disconcerting, there's a fox that plays a weirdly major part, like is in most of the movie, that was disconcertingly CGI. Like, they very intentionally were like, we are never going to use a real animal or practical thing for any part of this. There are plenty of parts where it could, but it was like, very specifically, let's make this fox so that no one ever thinks it's a real fox. Like, we don't want anybody to be confused about that. I mean
so how is it, do you think, that people were so enthusiastic about it?
I don't know. Why did everybody fucking love a ghost story too? Because I'll tell you what, this movie is infuriating in the same way. This movie, I think this is an episode of Twilight Zone where only a very small handful of us, either a very small handful of us, are the only ones that can see that this filmmaker actually sucks rocks, or we're the only ones who have like lost whatever part of our brain that allows us to appreciate his genius. It's one of the two. Because most people think this guy makes good movies. And from what I can see, this guy works really hard to make terrible movies. Like, it has a very singular vision thing. Like, I don't think this guy isn't trying, and I think this guy is definitely seeing. I think it's possible this guy is just a pseudonym for Tommy Wiseau.
Well,
is making something very deliberate that is ridiculous, which would be fine if the rest of the world was in on the joke, but I'm the only one laughing, and it makes me feel weird.
Okay, but I think I know why Ghost Story was popular.
Lay it on me. Save me.
Well, from what I understand of people who liked it and talked about why they liked it, it's because they thought it was a unique and poignant story told from the perspective of the ghost, basically. And, you know, kind of disconnected from time and, you know, what we would experience as normal life narrative, if you will. I mean, I could see what they were saying. It didn't do anything for me, and I thought they were probably giving him way too much credit, but I thought, okay, I get why people are kind of into that, if that's sort of a different perspective that they never considered before and they found it interesting. But you didn't sense anything in this film that, like,
A Ghost Story had a very interesting idea for a movie.
Okay.
And, well,
Yeah.
I really liked the trailer for A Ghost.
Okay. So, but you don't think there was a good idea for this movie anyway?
I suspect there probably was way.
Okay.
And it's definitely a unique film. I have not seen a film like this.
Okay. I'll have to see it.
I'm also very confused. The dude who plays King Arthur, when I first saw him, I was like, is that fucking Casey Affleck again? I'm going to be so mad if that's Casey Affleck. And then I had to look it up. And no, it's a guy named Sean Harris, who's, I think, hot shit. But then later in the movie, I'm like, I know I looked it up, but now I think he might be Viggo Mortensen. Like prophecy era Viggo Mortensen. There were a lot of acting choices in this movie. Like, with capital C choice.
Okay.
I don't know that any of them were good, but there were some distinct performances. I had a blanket around, I bunched it up around my face and yelled into it at one point during this movie. Because I was just like, I want my life back.
Wow. Well.
I did not like it. And I also, it has a tiny little post credits thing, sort of, which I was like, how does that work? And she's just like, oh, that's so-and-so. And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we established that person never existed. So how are they doing the thing they're doing right now? And she's like, yeah, they were in that one scene. And I said, yeah, which I think we determined was a dream, right? Like, that's, and she's like, oh yeah. Fuck this movie. I don't get it. I'm doing this for podcast. This is why I like my second review of just say, I don't get it. The world is in on the secret of this filmmaker. I am not. And I clearly am just angry because I'm slightly out of phase with this particular dimension in a very specific way. So it's 2 hours and 5 minutes, people. And it is visually intriguing at times. And some of the performances, I guess, are good in a vacuum. Like, if somebody was like, for my monologue, I'm going to do this bit, you might be like, oh, yeah. But what did it mean? And they'd be like, don't fucking ask. We don't. I don't.
Did it mean?
I don't know. I mean, there's just so many more things running through my head, but I don't think it'll benefit anybody for me to tell them. Do a thing.
Oh, you want me to do it?
Yeah, mostly because I forgot to grab my tablet, so.
This is from Azure Talon, but it's a picture, and you don't have your what, tablet.
What's it a picture of, per se? Pray tell.
Well, it's a,
as it were,
it looks like a mini figure, like, you know, you use for gaming and whatever.
Yes.
And it's captioned with the name Bucksaw because the figure has a helmet with antlers, like a, you know, a deer's antlers, and is also holding two weapons that they're identical, but they seem to have saw blades at the end of them.
Yes, yes. I believe he did this on Hero Forge, which lets you make little.
Oh yeah, Hero Forge. Minis. That's what it says.
This isn't the only time he's done this.
Oh.
He more recently only sent it to me. He made a little minifig of Cuidado Lime.
He did?
Yes.
Oh, that would have been cool.
So I have two things to say to Azure Town on this front. One, you need help. You need to be out and seeing people and communicating with live human. You have a daughter and a wife who love you very much. come back from the Hero Forge, and they just want to live with you. This is not healthy for you.
Do you have to log in to use this Hero Forge thing?
I have no idea. I've never done it because drugs are bad. Secondly, stop emailing them and post them on the blog so that we can all see and share and enjoy them together.
How does it work, though? I mean, can you make them? Oh, you can actually buy them?
Congratulations, Azure Talon. It took you 11 years, but you managed to kill the podcast. I've lost William. We're done.
Oh, wow. Look at all the heads you can do and everything. Species. Human, elf, half elf, half elf. I mean, what's that? One pointy ear and one not? I mean, how do they know what a half elf looks like? What do you think? Half orc?
I was thinking just recently, musing on the 11 years of doing this, if Azure Talon's cancer had killed him, all the jokes about how I gave him cancer with this podcast would not have aged well at all.
No, they wouldn't have. It's a good thing that he lived.
I didn't even consider that at the time. Yeah.
Thanks. That's real helpful. Thanks, Azure.
That would have been rough. Be like, remember when you used to joke about giving Azure Talon cancer and then he died? And I've been like, well, sir, you have me confused with a different podcast. Please move
along. Well, I thought you kind of knew that, but you didn't care.
A lot of people think that about me.
I think that about most things. When you say or do something, I think, well, he knows perfectly well what he's saying or doing. He just doesn't care. But sometimes later you tell me that, no, I wasn't really sure what I was doing. And I'm like, oh, I thought you knew. And I don't. And then I feel like, what was I supposed to do as your friend? What was I supposed to do? Was I supposed to say, hey, Tony, that's not cool? Or what, you know, what was I supposed to do?
What I'll tell you, and it hasn't come up yet, and it's useful. At such time as any sort of comeuppance from these glib remarks happens, you need to claim that you put me up to it. You need to fall, jump in the line of fire, as it were, and be like, Tony didn't want to say that. He thought it was very inappropriate, but I told him it would be funny. So I made him do it. That's what you should do. I'm glad we had this talk. I assumed you knew that.
No.
Yeah. You're not here to intervene in my poorly considered comments. You are here to take the brunt of any consequence that I might ever have. But I'll be honest, as a white dude, I don't think I'm going to get a lot. So
I'm going to play with this, this Hero Forge thing later.
I know you will.
Looks like fun.
Years ago, you had a version of this.
Yeah. What was it called? I don't remember.
I don't know. I only received the benefits of it. what was the impetus that caused you to do that for us? Like specific, something would happen. Was it like it was our birthday or we won an award or I don't remember what it was, but you didn't just do us all at the same time.
I didn't.
I don't think so. I thought we earned it somehow.
Well, everybody had one in the end.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you set that up, and you made us into a D&D character and then wrote a little story about us.
Yeah. I wrote little stories.
And I don't remember. And the pictures were custom designed from some sort of website, but they were coloring book style. And they very much looked like pages taken out of like some sort of D&D coloring book.
Hmm.
And then you colored them in.
Yeah, what did they? I forget what that was called. So when I first discovered this thing and I so it was around the time where I decided I was going to write some fiction. and it was going to be science fiction. And I hadn't really thought fantasy, but I thought maybe that too. And somehow I wanted, you know, I didn't have anyone who could draw. Like, I wanted to visualize some of the characters I was thinking of, and I didn't have anyone who could draw it. And so I went looking for something that would where I could do what I did, basically, was just you can pick body types and then you can pick costumes and all that kind of stuff. That's what I went looking for, and that's what I found. And the one I found was not, it was like the person was still developing it when I found it. And they were inviting people online to come use it so it would get tested, basically, down the road. Once they released it as an official product or whatever, then people could subscribe or buy it or whatever. But I think a lot of the people like myself who were playing with it ahead of time were going to be able just to have it. And I did. I used it for a long time. But now I don't even remember what it was called, because I haven't used it in ages.
So if things had gone slightly different, you would have just created us all South Park characters.
I mean, this was specifically for like superheroes and things like that. So.
Yeah.
And I made everybody.
You made me as some sort of cleric type.
Oh. Well, everybody got a hero and an enemy, got an arch enemy. Everyone got both.
Oh, I don't remember my arch enemy.
And you must have had one, man. Because unless,
I mean, maybe that was the thing. Then you ended up doing a podcast with me, so you became my arch enemy. You're like, I have something special for you. Yeah. And they were all in a fantasy vein, but very clearly metaphoric experiences we had at work. Actual tech support problems,
sure,
as fantasy things.
Well, like one of the people on the team, though, did was a fighter. Like, he did, yeah. I don't remember, so his character was based on that. This is a thing that he did outside of work, but
oh, okay. I think I remember somebody having to face the dreaded TGL lock or something like that, yeah.
I don't,
which yeah, for those of you not in the know, is a temporary general ledger lock.
But I just don't remember what it was even called. It was called Hero Something.
I was going to say that too.
Not Hero Forge. It was Hero.
No,
it was Hero Something.
Hero Crayon.
But it was really fun. I mean,
well, now you've got a new thing. So now you can give all your direct reports custom minifigs.
Oh my gosh. Looks pretty cool.
You know, Azure Talon can go into business.
That reminds me, I got one of these this week. It's Batman.
Did you like put a quarter in the machine and the little capsule came out?
No.
Did you get a Happy Meal? Where did you get the Batman?
He came with something.
What is that?
He came with this.
Oh, what, that he absolutely won't fit in.
No, but I mean, he is kind of scaled to it though.
Where did you get this stuff?
Target.
Oh.
This is the new Batmobile. To me, it is so cool. I love it.
I remember you saying you were really into that Batmobile.
Yeah, it's my favorite Batmobile. So you could get this little metal die-cast figure with this Batmobile, which Abby and I can't decide if it is also metal or not. Part of it seems to be, like the roof seems to be, but not the hood. So I don't know.
Disney released a movie called Turning Red.
Yeah, we were thinking of watching that.
Disney Plus.
Is it good?
I know very little about it. It appears to be about a redheaded girl who becomes a very large red panda, based on the images I have seen. The 14-year-old has said she watched it fully wincing for like 2/3 of it. So I'm not sure it is very good. Oh. But the reason I bring it up is I recently went to Panda Express for lunch, and they have a tie-in with this movie, and I cannot cope with this. because Panda Express, the panda is a panda bear, which is completely unrelated to red pandas.
Yeah, that's
despite the name being in both, they are in no way tied to each other. And so I feel somebody is culturally appropriating somebody. I don't approve. I can't cope. This is perpetuating lies and false science narratives that somehow they're cousins or something. They are unrelated.
Did you see did you see Encanto? Did you see that?
I didn't. I've talked to a lot of people who have. I don't know that we will bother. As cool as it seems, it's we don't have kids and I don't care about kids' movies. And honestly, if I was gonna see one of those movies right now, it would probably be Ron's Gone Wrong. Which was a Fox movie that Disney inherited that kind of snuck under the radar, but apparently is really pretty good.
Well, we saw that. We saw Ron's Gone Wrong and didn't like it.
Oh.
But we saw Encanto and we did like it. So I don't know.
I haven't found anybody who didn't like Encanto. I've had people who have specific issues with parts and other parts, but like nobody didn't like it. But no, this is a thing. Like, we're watching Owl House. You watched Owl House, right?
No.
You should watch Owl House. Okay. You guys would really like Owl House. And in fact, the second half of the second season drops tomorrow, maybe? And we like it and we watch it. We're watching it very slowly because very seldom do we have the urge, because it is great. It is also very clearly for children. Oh. And so, like, it's fun, but only it's very kid-like. But no, it is... basically, it is a very progressive, very clever children's fantasy show on a scale that is not normal, which is why Disney is going to cancel it before too long, because they literally said it kind of doesn't fit with our whole deal. And I'm like, I'm surprised you'd say that, Disney, because I both agree and think that's why you should have kept it.
Yeah. What's so great about your deal?
Exactly. Well, and it's clearly one person's vision, and I would say it is quite progressive and clever and stuff, but it's also very clearly targeted at, I'd say, the tweens specifically. So we enjoy it, but only so much. And it's the same thing. I'm like, I'll bet Kento's great. Maybe. And this is the thing where we're like, hey, it's Christmas. The whole family is together. We are all different ages. Let us watch something we can all enjoy. And then we'll be like, hey, Encanto. And then I see it.
I mean, yeah, I didn't seem to think it came up. I mean, aside from being animated, I didn't really catch any sense that it was aimed specifically at kids.
I don't think it is. I think it's not aimed at me.
Oh.
I don't know. From a long history of watching Disney and Pixar animated features, at this point, it's like, that was cute. I laughed a few times. I'm glad it exists. I got nothing from it except some really reductivist and tropey as shit moral lesson that I've seen in every other one of this. Something along the lines of believing in yourself and family is who you pick and love will guide the way, and being different is cool sometimes. And which, again, Owl House, same thing. Like, Owl House is very, goes hard right up front that, like, the weirdos are the coolest people. And I'm like, I don't disagree, but also I already know that.
Okay, well.
Yeah, the more I spend time deconstructing a lot of media, the less I can appreciate a lot of it, because I deconstruct it in the process. And I'm a little sad about that, but you know, I'm not sad if I'm like, oh, I can't appreciate as many Disney animated features as I used to, because they're evil, but whatever. Have you seen the trailer for Miss Marvel?
Yeah, I did see that.
I suspect I will not want to watch it, but it looks awesome and I'm really glad it's there. I think it's going to be really cool, just in a way that I don't think I'll give a shit about. But it looks very cool. I'm starting to deal with the fact that I may straight up not like superheroes at all. Like, I've known for a while I don't seem to do well with superhero TV shows, but I've always ostensibly liked the movies. And then we were talking with the neighbors at dinner the other night, and I was talking about some of the recent MCUs, and I was like, yeah, I didn't really like this. And Trish says, yeah, he doesn't really like any of them these days. And I was like, that's, she's like, he liked Black Panther, but that was it. And I was like, that's not true. And then I thought back and I'm like, yeah, maybe I kind of just don't like any of them anymore.
Maybe the whole idea
just isn't doing it for me anymore.
Well, as I recall us talking about superhero stories in the past, you've pretty much always said that they're not really your thing. You can get into them, but.
Yeah. I think that's becoming more and more true now. We'll see. I mean, I'm still going to fucking watch Moon Knight. And, you know, I still, as soon as I can, I'm going to do the new Spider-Man. And I'm excited for the new Doctor Strange. And Doctor Strange. I might see the Batman. I don't know yet,
but see, here's the thing. Like I said, in all the time that you and I have talked about these things, mostly on the podcast, actually, I don't remember us talking about it like when we worked together and stuff, but on the podcast, when we talked about superhero stories in general, you right up front had problems just with the whole idea of it.
Yeah. I mean, superhero stories all seem to have the same premise, which is, as Uncle Ben put it, let's all say it together now, with great power comes great responsibility. And I'm like, you're not wrong, but none of us have superpowers. Like, I agree. If you, and it's the same, like the X-Men are a metaphor for racism. Yeah. That works in a short story. In decades of comics, it's not about racism anymore because they literally shoot fire from their hands and shit. Like, your premise doesn't work because none of this happens. And, well, and another one that actually just occurred to me. I think it's because I'm not a comics person, and it's because normally I should on paper love this stuff because I'm all about, I love, you know, fantasy, speculative fiction, all that. And I love the mythology of it, and comics have mythology the same way soap operas have drama. They go on for so long with so many different people that they are just the Swiss cheese of mythology. And I cannot cope with the constant inconsistency. And I think that's a problem. Okay, we should wrap up here before we go. Did I talk about Severance?
No, and I was supposed to because we've been watching it and really liking it. And
You still have the Apple TVs? I didn't know you still had the Apple TVs. I guess you watched Foundation. Of course you would have. All right.
Yeah,
We finished Foundation, if I didn't say. We did finish it. Yeah, I think we did talk about it. No, we are watching Severance. So, okay, just real quick for people who don't know. Severance is a little speculative fiction piece that's set presumably in the not-too-distant future. And this one company, to deal with its very high security clearance stuff, has developed this medical technique called Severance, wherein they put an implant in your brain. And when you are on... when you're at work, you have no memories of your life outside of work. And when you leave work, you have no memories of what was happening in work. And it's a mystery. Shit's going on. You might not know about it. Ooh, spooky, whatever. And I see the trailer for it and I'm like, this is going to be dark. I might not enjoy it because of that, but we'll see. And I told Trish, I was like, I think I'm willing to try it out, but I may bail real fast. And then it came out, but we were watching other stuff. And my friend was like, I've watched two episodes and I might have to stop watching it because it's really dark. It's too dark. And I was like, this is not a good sign. I nope out of that shit real fast. And this might be good. I feel like I should hate it, but I'm only two episodes us right now, two out of six. I am super here for it. I do not understand why. I am absolutely caught up in the mystery of it. I am really digging the pitch black humor. I laugh out loud a lot during this show. Trish does not. I do. And I'm loving the fact that it's only six episodes. I'm like, whatever happens, it doesn't feel like something that's not going to resolve. It would suck if that was the case, but I mean, like, I feel like we'll have some answers. Yeah, so I don't understand why, and on paper I probably shouldn't, but I'm really into it.
Yeah, we really like it. I've been intending to bring it up. And Abby always asked me, why didn't you talk about Severance? I keep forgetting, and I forgot this time too. But yeah, we've been watching it and really like it. The guy, what's the main guy's name?
Adam Scott.
I usually do not like him in anything, but I think in this he's brilliant.
Well, see, I've mostly only seen him in comedy, and this is a very dramatic role in a lot of ways, and I think he's nailing it.
And Ben Stiller as the creative
is directing it. Yeah. He's directing all the episodes.
He created the show, I think.
Oh, I thought Dan somebody or other did.
Executive producing it and stuff. Well, he's got a big hand in the creative aspects of it.
It's got a hell of a cast in general.
Christopher Walken's in it.
Christopher Walken, John Turturro, Patricia Arquette, who yeah. I apparently still have some underlying that I was unconscious about crushes on young Patricia Arquette. At one point, I said something quite vulgar about something that was going to happen involving her, and Trish said nothing, and I turned and I was like, that was an inside thing, right? I shouldn't have said that one out loud. And she's like, yeah, probably not. I'm like, yeah, apparently I have some unresolved feelings about Patricia Arquette that I did not remember. And she still looks incredible. Ooh, yeah, definitely. But also whoever's playing the Helly or whoever, the female ish
right,
she looks familiar and I like her a lot. And the guy playing the snarky one, I don't know his name, I need to learn his name. He is showing up everywhere playing essentially that same role and he crushes it. I first remember him in Pete Holmes's show Crashing, where he becomes Pete Holmes's agent, but I love him and he's been showing up everywhere lately and it's awesome.
Also, the music's good. The music is really good. They've got a great opening theme, and they call back to it during the show in just the right places, and it's really gets.
And they really have played with the music. There's a lot of things that, like, the music does a lot of the heavy lifting to let you know something has changed, yeah. But it does it well.
Yeah, really well.
No, I'm very pleased so far.
Yeah, it's very well made for sure. That's
good. So. Ever increasing reasons to get the Apple TVs originally, and Ted Lasso's worth the price right there. So, but you got your Ted Lasso's, you got your Foundations, which most people who aren't me should like. And movies keep sneaking, and we want to see Last Days of Ptolemy Gray. That looks kind of cool.
Does look interesting. I don't know if we'll see it, but
anyway, we should be done. It's been 11 years. We should call it off. No, we should be done with this episode. Write in, people. We are down to one more question at the moment, or one more email, and then it's just gonna be this. Nobody wants that. So write in themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com. Also go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and everybody there, just keep yelling at Azure Talon to post his little minifig things on the site so that we can all appreciate them, because you know William's gonna go nuts with that any second now. Soon as we're off this call. So let's all watch the boys play. Listen again next week. Enjoy the hopefully warming up weather where you are. It's probably other advice, but I've spent 11 years giving it to you. I can't hold your hand forever. You got to go figure it out, all of you. This episode might be called Dr. Strange, because you laughed so hard at that. I don't even think it's that good, but there you go.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.